Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just standing here just this second was reminded of a song. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. There's so many things in our lives that God desires to set us free from so that we can be that example in the earth, so that we can minister and touch other people. This morning we're going to talk about some of those things. I'm going to be very candid with you again. I know that's probably not a big surprise to you, but I'm going to be very candid. How many here have reached a place in your life where you are really convinced about how God sees you, about how God thinks about you, and about how much God loves you? And the reason He works on us, He teaches us, He causes us to grow, and He puts the squeeze on us or the thumb on us, however you want to say, and makes us squirm, is because He's working out in us the very things that we desire and should be desiring. And that's a pure life and a holy life before Him. And you know, it's not always through what I would call uncleanness or blatant disregard for His Word, but it's things just, we get caught up in emotions. And emotions, if they're directed in the right way, if they're controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, which means our minds are being continually renewed, not just one time, but continually renewed, we see changes in us that we like. I've made a couple of statements here recently, and it seems like the more every day I think about them and meditate on them, and the more I walk, the more I understand, and I'm coming to that place where one statement I made is, one of these days we're going to learn to live with ourselves. That's a little humorous, but it's the truth too. If you think about it, just meditate on it. The other thing is, one of these days we're going to get it right. As long as we keep pushing towards that direction, we're going to get it right. Amen. God's going to work out those things that we despise in ourselves and that we see out in the world. And you know, again, the way He changes those things is not... I've always had an opinion that, you know, or thought this, that, you know, I'm always praying, God, you know, God, change that person. And when you start to pray, God, change me, change my heart, work in me, you start to see things in a different perspective. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But this morning... I don't know about you, I want to give Him all the praise and all the worship this morning that I can possibly give. Amen? I love Him. He's good. He has good things in store for us. He has good thoughts. There's so much more that He wants to give us and He wants to do in our lives. Take the things that are burdens to us. Maybe it's just things in our own lives that we stand back and when we start to meditate on them or look at them, you know, we understand how foolish we were. What a waste of time our efforts were in some of those foolish things. Amen? God's good, and God's here to exhort and comfort and build up and edify this morning. Amen? To teach us. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm here for this morning. I want to hear some of that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, once again, corporately, in unity, Lord, we say we love You. We love You and we thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in our lives. And Lord, right now I say, and I pray that many will follow suit. In fact, I'm sure many will and are, or all. Lord, we want to please You. We love You. We want to make those changes that will cause Your glory and Your life to be mirrored to others, Lord. That when they look at us. They won't see our shortcomings. They won't see our frailty, but they'll see Your glory and Your power, Lord. And they'll be provoked to jealousy, to walk and serve You. Lord, this is Your time. We are Your people. We rejoice in this day. This is a day You have made. We're glad in it. And Lord, we just thank You for Your presence here. Once again, Holy Spirit, You've been invited. Have Your way. Cause our Father's will to be done in heaven and in earth, in these places, in these vessels, Lord, and in this house. And everything we do today, Lord, we do for Your honor and glory. And to magnify You. And once again, Lord, You are at the highest place in this house and in my life, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that in every life here, that's the truth. Thank You for in advance for what You're going to do and what You have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be in Your house this morning to worship You and to honor Your Son, Jesus, who paid the price that we could not pay, Heavenly Father. We ask You to bless what we give to You today. We ask You to multiply it so we can be an influence in this community for you, Heavenly Father. Bless each and every person that's here today. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Just bow your heads for a moment. You know, the Lord would further say that you've heard it said. You've heard it said many times. You've read it many times. You've quoted it many times. That your eyes have not seen, nor your ear heard, nor hath it entered into your heart the things that I have prepared for you, says the Lord. I want you to know today that I love you. I've told you that I love you. It's an everlasting love, and nothing shall separate you from my love. But I want you to know that today is a day I call you to come higher. Come closer. Become more intimate with me, says the Lord. See, I've got things that you can't even imagine in store for you. But what I want from you is to surrender everything in your life. I want you to meditate on me like you've never meditated on me and on my word before. I want you to look to me, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Yes, you've had expectations. You've had things you've desired, says the Lord. And I am here to tell you they are coming. They are at the door. But what I want from you is to fall in love with me again. Return to your first love. Let that zeal build up in you. Let the fire of God build up in you. And seek me. And I will direct you. And I will guide you. And I will show you those things that will cause my power and my authority and my glory to be manifest through you to touch this dark world. See, I still have those out there that I'm searching for, that I'm wooing, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit is working around the clock to draw those people in, both that you care about, that you love, that you've been praying for, and that you don't even know yet. You haven't even met yet. And it's through love and power and authority. I say again, it's through love and the power and authority that I've placed in your life, says the Lord, that you will receive those things and you will see come to pass and come into fruition, those things that you've desired and that I desire for you and more than you desire. I've said I would not that anyone would perish, but all would come to eternal life, to repentance and to the knowledge of my Son and what I've done for you and for them. Hear this word this day. Listen and obey. Be obedient, and you will eat the good things that I have for you, says the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I would like to stand here and say that God's been really hard on me the last few weeks and months, but you know what? I don't think I'd be totally honest if I said that. It's been hard, but it's not been really, He's not been hard on me. He's extended more love and grace to me in the past few months and weeks than I have ever known in all the years I've walked with the Lord. And I'm excited about it. And more every day, I'm more in love with Him. I'm more excited about Him. I'm more excited about Him in my life. And I'm more excited about being used by the Lord. Amen? But more than anything, I'm excited that He's changing me. And one of the things that I'm learning and that I understand better than I've ever understood before is the fact that the things that I get so disgusted with in this world, in my life, in other people's lives, the things that I go around grumbling about, complaining about, getting my feathers all ruffled about, as soon as God begins to work with me and begins to direct my path and show me, all of a sudden those things go away, God begins to change me, and the situation and those things change. Did you hear me? Now, if you've not experienced that, I challenge you today. I challenge you today. The message today is power and authority through compassion. Power and authority through compassion. I don't know a person in this room that there are not circumstances or situation, or maybe you've got the faces of people in your eyes, right in your mind's eye right now, that just absolutely send you over the edge. I mean, if you could get your hands on them and it wouldn't be illegal, you'd wring their neck in a heartbeat, you know? Come on now. And what I'm finding out is the fact that, you know, when I have that attitude and I see these people and I make those judgments, once again, we've talked about probably for the last few services that I've ministered, considering your own ways, examining your own heart and life, but seeing that I am placing judgment or passing judgment on those people. And it's only by the grace and mercy of God that you and I, through those judgments, are not consumed or destroyed. Amen? There was a time, I'm not so sure lightning wouldn't have struck right away. But we're in a dispensation of grace and mercy. That doesn't mean a dispensation of do anything you want to and get away with it. You run and repent and think you're going to get away with it. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I mean the fact is that God sees the hearts of people just like He sees yours and my heart. Amen? Y'all can say amen. It's all right. We're not formal here. He sees our hearts. And that's what He judges everything by. Not our outward actions. Let me tell you something. From the moment we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, if it was our actions that got us in trouble, let's face it, we wouldn't be here. This place would be empty. Come on, it's okay to say yes. It's the truth. It's the truth. But it's because of God's love and His grace and mercy that we're allowed to be here, that we continue on. And God says He's perfecting us, amen? He's perfecting us. I've talked to you about individuals. I'll just be honest with you, in my family, that just absolutely, I mean, just want to wring their neck. Don't understand them. How can you claim to be a Christian and stand and do and say the things you say and think that it's okay? How many have been there? And yet I heard the sweet, still small voice of the Lord through an experience that I had this past week. In fact, just a couple days ago. Yesterday, maybe. I don't remember. It's not important. What's important is that I got the message. Amen? It's important that you get the message today, too. And God checked me on it. And He showed me once again. You know, let's face it, we all know people. Maybe we even see ourselves in some of those situations where we're disgusted with some of the things we've done, some of the things we've said. Maybe even when you got up this morning, something happened and you got disgusted with the way you're thinking and the way what actions, or maybe just upset just for the sake of being upset. Who knows? And you look at people and you say, you know, I mean, you just got a mat on. You're just upset because you don't understand. But I remember reading that God said, take the tree out of your eye and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from somebody else's eye. Folks, that's just not Christianese. That's not just a Christian saying. That's not just a piece written out of the Bible. There is power and authority behind that. When you understand who you are and where you are in your walk with the Lord, and God is allowed to speak into your life, not pointing a finger saying, well, you old rotten dog, you're just worthless. But instead of pointing out your fault when you know you've done wrong and you run to Him and you stand there and catch yourself and go, oop, you hear Him say, not what you did wrong, but this is the way. How about this? This is a better way. Consider this way. And I don't know about y'all, but when that happens to me, that pierces my heart. It touches my heart for many reasons. Number one, it's because I realize God's not done with me yet. God loves me. He still loves me. And He wants to and still is changing my life to be in His image and His likeness. I never saw in the Word, nor can I picture in my mind, Jesus ever grumbling and complaining and pointing a finger at somebody, well, did you see what that sorry so-and-so did? I just don't understand that. He took it to the Lord. And what He expects us to do so that we can be in His image and likeness is to take it to the Lord, number one. But the first place we need to go is internally. Gina and I had a conversation on the way in this morning, which we often do. She can't get away. I got a captive audience. But we talked about that and the fact that, you know, that you know, we just don't understand the power and authority that we have and what God can do if we'll just get our thoughts, our emotions out of the way. And I told you here last, I guess it was Wednesday night, maybe mentioned it a couple weeks ago, worry and anger and emotions that are out of control, and by that I mean out of control of the Spirit of God, they're not captive thoughts, that are not captive to the Word of God, that are not taken captive and brought into the submission of the Word of God and the obedience of Christ, are worthless. In fact, they're dangerous. They can get us into trouble. They can bring judgment on our lives, because what we do when we get angry and upset at things and people, more people than things, is enter into judgment we don't even realize we're entering into. when the Word of God, along with the Scripture that says, take the tree from your eye, says, consider your ways. What's our responsibility in this earth? What's God called us to do? I'm going to tell you a story. Recently, I had a man come to my house. My sister is still a young lady, but not as young as you might think. For any of you who know how old I am, she's 8 years younger than I am, 9 years younger than I am. She's not a little girl anymore. She's pushing on to the what we classify in this country, the senior years. And she's never been married. And that's been a desire of her heart for many, many years. I've seen a lot of men come and go in her life, men that I wouldn't give you a plugged nickel for. And all of a sudden, a man who I've heard my family kind of ridicule, like I've done to people and about people, talk about him and just talk about what a goof he was and stuff like that. Well, honey, you know what? You and I were the same way. Maybe we still are. But when we talk about things like that, we entertain those kind of thoughts, that means there's no grace. We don't have any hope for change in other people's lives. Do you have hope for change in your life? Do you want to be in the image of God? Do you want to operate in the power and the authority and the love of God? Do you want to see people touched just by your very presence because you love the Lord? Do you want to see the countenance of Jesus shine forth instead of your countenance when you talk to people, when you pass people, when people come into your sphere of influence, your circle of influence? Do you want that? I want that. And I'll pay any price to get it. I'll pay any price to get it. We know that in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says we were crucified with Christ. The old man passed away, and now all things are new. We're a new person. We're going to read in a moment a scripture that talks about that crucifixion. Do you realize that your flesh was crucified, the old flesh was crucified at that moment? Not going to be. When we talk about crucifying the flesh, that's a continual process, but the point is that that old man died. And now, our job, from now till we draw our last breath and we go into the presence of the Lord, is to make sure that we're pleasing Him. And if I have my thoughts and opinions and I'm pointing fingers at His creation, and some of them are His children. Remember, there's a difference between His creation and His children. If you're not born again, you're not His creation, you're not His child. You're His creation. Because you don't get to heaven, you don't become a child of God except through accepting Jesus as your Savior. That you're talking about people that God created that He loves. He knows they're doing wrong. He knows they're doing wrong. He knows they're not. But the thing is, see, the difference between you and I, or you, us and them, is we have an advocate that stands and makes intercession for us daily at the right hand of God. Anyway, so my sister has longed for, you know, a godly man to come into her life. And because of the hurt and frustration, you know, she comes up with things like, well, I never met one. You know, people ask her, well, why have you never been married? She goes, well, I never found somebody that I wanted to make another one just like. Oh, y'all need to lighten up. Y'all need to lighten up. I thought that was funny. I mean, it's heartbreaking to me because I realized the anguish in her spirit and her heart. So all of a sudden, this man who, like I say, I've heard both of them, my sister and my mom. And of course, she was very apprehensive and very cautious. And I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to just run into something. You know, one of the things in the relationships that I've had for the last few years, I'm not going to go into how many, is the one thing that I've said to God in those relationships, God, if there's anything in this relationship that's going to damage that person or cause that person to stumble or hurt the kingdom of God in their life or my life, then, Lord, you stop it. You stop it. And He did. And He did. There's no condemnation on those people, on those ladies. There's no condemnation on me. But the point is, when your heart's right, you're out for the good of everybody. So anyway, this man comes to pick up my sister. He's been seeing her for a little bit. And, of course, she's very apprehensive. But the point is, she had a situation that I didn't even know about until, yes, I think it was yesterday, happened where three of her friends, in fact, one of them is not really her friend. He's kind of an annoyance. He's a man who's 60 years old and acts like a 15-year-old, from what I understand. I've never met the man. I don't know. He's all jealous over a woman who, the third party in this triangle is the woman's husband or ex-husband. They're Christians. They know the Lord. And I just quite frankly, if you were to look at them, you'd think you were looking at children, not adults. So they're down at a meeting, camp meeting or a convention, all week long from last Sunday through this last Thursday. And all of a sudden, these three who are supposed to be, and one of them is one of my sister's best friends, if not my sister's best friend at the moment, she has more than one, is starting to act really silly. And, of course, my sister's one that she doesn't mind telling you the truth in love, but it'll smack you upside the head at the same time. How many know what I'm talking about? Speak the truth in love. And so all of a sudden, here's this man that she's been cautious of, and all of a sudden the wisdom of God starts to come out of his mouth. And she begins to speak to her and begins to bring peace and calmness into her, into the situation. So whatever it takes, whatever we need to do. Because she was looking to him to get her out of this mess. She was ready to make all three of them walk. Well, what she didn't know is that when he came to pick her up here just recently, maybe a week or so ago, I got a chance to visit with the man. And I was reminded that I was told by her, by my mother, that he was a minister. So we started talking, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reminded me of that. And I said to him, I said, I hear you're a minister. He said, well, yes. He said, I don't preach in the pulpit anymore. He said, I don't do much preaching anymore. I'm not actually preaching in a church or ministering in a church. But he says, the ministry that I'm involved in or what I'm doing now is getting people. And he began to explain what he was doing, and I'm telling you what it was exactly, precisely, pinpoint. He was talking about the ministry of reconciliation and restoration. Your Bible and my Bible says, when you see a brother taken in fault, restore that one. Restore that one. See, the point is, when we start ridiculing and talking about and exalting, and let's face it, what you talk about is what you exalt. You can't praise God and talk nonsense. And you can't talk nonsense and praise God. Amen? Well, in the process of all the mistakes that he made, God's changing his life. At the age of 60, he's becoming mature in the Lord. Not just physically, but in the Lord. In his thinking. That's what's happening to me. Because I'm becoming mature in the Lord. I didn't say I've arrived. I didn't say I've got there. I said he's working that out. I'm in the process. I'm still on the potter's wheel. Amen? How many are still on the potter's wheel? How many want to be on the potter's wheel? Amen? I'm going to tell you something. I'm greedy. I'm a greedy man. I am. I want all that God has for me. I remember one man telling me one time, Bill, if you won't do what God wants you to do, he said, I'll do it. And that's greedy. Thank God the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Amen? Hallelujah. So anyway, I had the conversation with the man, and I began to tell him about my ministry in the church here. We talked, and I said to him before, when he was ready to leave, and he stood up to get ready to walk out the door, because my sister was ready at this point. You know, we don't understand why you ladies take so long to get ready, but we sure appreciate it when you do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, come on, guys. Jeez, this ain't that serious. This ain't that serious. But anyway, as he started to walk out the door, and I just got a chance to stop and look at him, I said, Bill, I said, look forward to meeting you, talking to you again. I said, I'd like to get to know you. And my sister walked in. And immediately, I could see those two together. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I may be prophesying under my breath. I don't know. But they looked good. Even though I didn't see them side by side, I saw, and it looked like they belonged together. I don't know what that means. I'm not getting involved. But when I explained that to my sister, she got tears in her eyes. And there have been times when I've wanted to choke the life out of her. Because I don't understand how she can be a Christian and act the way she does. Well, you know what? A lot of people don't understand how I can be a Christian and act the way I do too. And I'm in the ministry. And once again, God's tender arms came around. And I had to repent for all the things that I said in judgment against her. And by judgment, I mean pointing out those things that are wrong in her life. Well, guess what? The moment I started that, and every time I did start that, whether it was her or somebody else, I forgot about me and the ugliness in me that I want God to take out. See, I can't minister to people. You can't minister to people from where you're not. Oh, you should be shouting amen, because it's the truth. I know it may not be comfortable, but it's the truth. If you got issues in your life that are unresolved, that doesn't mean God won't use you, but you can't be used to your full potential. Until you become so close to the Lord that all you see is not what happens out there that other people do that irritates you, that you feel like they're taking advantage of you, or they're disrespecting you. When you stand there by your words and actions under your breath behind their back, disrespect them. And God too. You know what? I feel clean. I feel clean. Because I want to hear that voice of God. I want to hear that. I want to be effective in the kingdom of God. How about you? I don't know what it all means. I told my sister, I said, I don't know why I got emotional. She said, maybe because you love me? Yeah. Even though I'd like to choke the life out of her sometimes in the past, I do love her. She's a woman of God. She's a child of God. She's a daughter of God. And God's not done with her yet. Amen? How about you? Is God done with you yet? If you are, if you think He is, and you think He is, and you need to be up here, and I need to be down there listening to you. God is so good. God is so good. See, when we come to that place where we can see people through the eyes of Jesus and not through our judgmental, nasty, putrefying eyes that misjudge things. See, the whole thing is, folks, it's just like God says. We only see the outward. When we look at one another, we only see the outward. Yes, there's fruit that we can see that God's at work in your life. You can see fruit in my life, hopefully, I pray. If not, I got a lot of repenting to do. That God's changing me. And that's what I want. I want to be changed into His image and likeness. Change from mortality to immortality. That's what this walk is all about. Amen? I ain't got time to waste on that. And that's wasted time. And that stuff I got to turn around and go and repent for. Not that I have a problem with repenting. But why do I want to take another trip around the mountain? Amen? When am I going to just let things go and realize, except for the grace of God, it would be me standing in those shoes, and probably still is, except for the grace of God. Turn with me if you will. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. No, I changed my mind. Turn over to the book of Colossians, please, the 3rd chapter. If I can compose myself, we'll get through this. How many don't understand where I'm coming from? Are you all with me? Praise the Lord. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Then He gives us a command, not a suggestion, a command. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I live is not my own, but I live it through the faith of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, we want to, or we do, through our foolishness, expose our own selves by our foolishness. By our own foolishness. If you can't say amen, say oh me. But we're supposed to be dead. When I became a Christian, the old me died. And does that mean that I'm a new physical person? No. But I have new blood in me. I got the blood of God in me. I'm a new creation, a new species or being that never before existed. I'm a peculiar person, peculiar race, of a peculiar race. I'm now a member of the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Amen. So are you. Amen. Hallelujah. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ, the Anointed One, in God. When Christ is, who is our life, did you see that? When Christ, who is our life, see, it's not your life anymore. Or it's not supposed to be. The only part that's yours is the decision maker that says, yes, I'll do what God wants, or no, I don't like that part, I'm going to skip that for a while. Yeah, and don't tell me nobody's been there except me, because I know better. Y'all are just like I am. But y'all are just like me too. You got a heart for God to change, amen? Whoo, man, you guys missed good places to say amen. I know you did, I just didn't hear any. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Did you hear that? In glory. Not in fear and trepidation. Not in worry and fret. Not in wondering and hoping, but in glory. Hallelujah. Therefore, put to death. And that's what this is all about this morning, is putting to death your members which are on the earth. See, we still walk in a carnal body. And what we have to do is we have to decrease, as Jesus was talked about, or as John the Baptist talked about when Jesus was walking up to the water that day. We have to decrease and He has to increase. And as we decrease, that means that our thoughts, our desires change. Our attitudes and our actions change. Many of you are new. We're not here when this happened, but in a picture was commissioned after this statement was made and was given to our apostle, Pastor Stan, who was the founder of this church, for those of you who don't know, blessed man of God. And one of the things he said one day is, I want it to get so much that when I look in the mirror, not just when other people see me, which is part of his heart also and mine too, and I pray yours, but when I look in the mirror, I don't see me, I see Christ. I see Jesus. And the picture was commissioned to show the reflection in the mirror. He was standing looking in the mirror, and it was a good likeness. For those of you who remember and saw the picture, it was a good likeness. Somebody really captured his character. And in the mirror was the face of Jesus. What a good reminder to have on your wall in your office or your home or wherever. Amen. And that's what it's all about. You know, there's nothing about me that's worth being interested in or looking at except Jesus, except God. I can say that honestly and openly. There's nothing about me that's worth anything except Jesus. That's the only thing I have. Like Peter and the other disciple who stood at the door that day where the beggar was or the lame man. Silver and gold I don't have. But let me tell you what I do have. And what I have I'll give to you if you'll receive it. But I also understand that all my talking in the world is not going to convince somebody about what's going on in my life if they don't see the action in my life, which means it's not my words, it's my lifestyle that's going to touch people. It's my actions, how I react to things, to situations, react to emotions and things. Jean was telling me about a nurse that she had influence on when she was working in the ER. And she was always talking about people, running people down and stuff. I know y'all never did that. Jean was at least honest about it. But she was able to minister to this lady, and this lady caught on and later became a Christian because of Jean's testimony. Praise the Lord. See, if you'll do what God wants and you'll act like God and look like God and set yourself and your emotions, your feelings, which are deceitful, they come from the heart, Jeremiah 17:9, they come from the heart, which is deceitful above all things. The mind or the heart is the mind, the will, the emotions, and the seat of appetites. And at best, without God, they're selfish. At best, they're selfish. Self-centered, self-seeking, self-elevating. Amen? Self-elevating. And that's what we have to bring under the obedience of the Spirit. That's why we have to go by the washing of the water of the Word to cleanse us, to show us, to reveal to us, and by the Holy Spirit, which reveals to us truth, so that we can take those emotions captive. Amen? God gave us emotions, and emotions are not right or wrong. It's how we use them. You know, for years now, since Reagan, in fact, everybody's been out to try to, or a lot of the politicians are out to because of their foolishness. Just show how silly thinking without God is. They're out to take all the guns away. That's what they'd like to see. They're not smart enough to understand that when you take the guns away, you have no way to protect yourself. And you're not going to stop the crime or whatever it is that you want to stop. See, it's not the gun that's the problem, it's the individual holding the gun. Amen? Roderick Crawford used to say in the old days, and I'm giving my age away, in the show Highway Patrol, he used to say things like, give blood at the Red Cross, not on the highways. He'd say, remember, it's not the car that kills, it's the driver. And he says, remember, the careless driver is not driving the car, he's aiming it. Amen? So it's not the instrument, it's the person holding the instrument. Or in control of the instrument. Amen? Hello? Bless you, Lord. Consider your ways. Verse 5 again. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Now, why was I concerned about what I saw wrong or what somebody did yesterday or what I saw in the news about an individual who maybe have done something that we may find appalling? Why was I concerned? See, he's got it under control. And you and I are not the judges. You and I are not the ones who pass sentence and carry out the execution. We're going to face our own. And I'm not talking about the white throne as Christians. I'm talking about the judgment of what you did with what God gave you in this earth. And whether you did what God asked you to do and you allowed Him to change your life. That's what we're going to give an answer for. Doesn't mean you're not going to be in heaven. Doesn't mean you're not going to get your reward. There might not be much reward there if we're not really surrendering to Him. There may be some things we miss out on that we really, really, and when we see Him, there could be a few tears shed. And the reason I say that is because the Scripture talks about when we get there, the tears of some being wiped away. Why would there be tears in heaven? Because you see what could have been if you'd have just been a little more obedient, if you'd have just got a little bit more out of the way in your own life and allowed God to shine through. The real God, the real Jesus. Amen? Not the religious one, not the sacred cow one, but the real one. Hallelujah. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves, listen carefully, once walked. Now you need to ask yourself this morning, am I still walking in those things, or was it once? And now you're trying to get free and see God move in your life to dissipate those things, destroy those things, so that He can increase and you'll decrease. So that His glory, His honor, His power will show through you. And by so doing, when you look at others, the compassion of God, what do you think is going to draw people? What's the first thing you and I respond to when we see somebody? We're either going to respond to the negative or the positive. What's the positive? Compassion and love and understanding. It doesn't mean we go along with the wrong, but it means we don't point a finger. We consider where we are and where we were and what God's delivered us from. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew. See, folks, I don't care whether you're born again or not. The only difference between you and that person is you're born again and they're not, if they don't know the Lord. That's the only difference. You're alive unto God. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. What do you want to give them? What do you want to show them? You want to point a finger? Do you want to be the one whose sins you retain? They're sent to hell? Or do you want to be the one who releases them and see them saved again? Saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen? Now what we just read about was the difference between carnality and Christ. Let's look at the character of the new man. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-sufferings. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any has a complaint against another, even so as Christ forgave you, so you also forgive, or you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. See, he didn't just say put on love. He tells you what it is. It's the bond of perfection. If you love Him, you want to obey Him, right? You want to do what's right in His eyes, right? If you love one another, you don't want to see them. You don't think about their perish. Well, you think about their perishing only in the respect that you want to do all you can to see them not perish. But you don't consider why they're perishing, except we know that the enemy tries to take advantage. Amen? It's not important why they're perishing. Well, you know what I'm saying. Okay? We know why they're perishing, but we don't want to see them perish. Let's let it go with that. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God, the peace of God. Can you be at peace when you're looking at something that's just absolutely sending you into an orbit? Y'all didn't answer me. Is this thing on? Can you be at peace when you're looking at something or something's affecting you that's sending you into orbit? It's getting you all head up. You're starting to sweat. You're starting to blood boil. Your blood's boiling. You can't. You can't. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve anger and love. Amen. You can't serve anger and love. Bless our darling hearts and mixed up minds. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. See, when we're railing on somebody, especially that we believe are saved, we're railing on ourselves. Did y'all catch that? We're railing on ourselves because we're part of that body. We've been grafted into that body too by the mercy and grace of God. Amen? So we're railing on ourselves. My mama used to say it's a dumb dog that bites itself. Verse 16, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Listen carefully. In all wisdom, in all teaching, in all admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Unmerited favor. Not seeing the fault of them, but realizing you were probably there at one time in your life, if you're not still. Amen. Remembering you still got all this stuff that's still in your eye, so you still can't see clearly. And I'm going to tell you once again, the one thing that I found out the longer I serve the Lord, there'll never come a day in this life where I'll have it on my eye completely clear so that I can see to remove the speck from somebody else's eye. I'm not their conscience. I'm not the one who was sent to correct them. I'm the one, you were the ones who were sent to bring hope, peace, and joy into their lives, to see them set free from the bondages and the things that make them act and react the way they do. And that you once acted and reacted the same way. Amen? And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him, through Jesus. I want to read you 1 Samuel 16:7. You can turn there if you want to, or you can just write it down. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, folks, it's not our actions, it's our heart that God's interested in. If our heart's right, our actions will follow. Amen? Thank you for that. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. See, we know from the day we're born. I got a lot of medical folks in here, so they can say, yes, that's right. But the point is, from the day we're born, we start to diminish and die. You might as well say amen, because it's the truth. It's the truth. We start to die. But the thing is, when we become a Christian, once again, we take off the mortality. We deal with it once and for all, and now we are immortal in our spirit and our soul. We just got to get our soul to agree with the Spirit and walk in that way. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10:7. I'm kind of pounding this home because I want this to sink in. I want this to get a hold of all of us. 2 Corinthians 10:7. Do not look at things according to the outward appearance. If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is, even so, just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's, or as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if you will, in closing, is there anybody who's not clear about the message this morning? Are y'all still with me? Y'all still with me? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I don't know if we'll read the whole chapter, but there's a possibility. In fact, I think we're going to skip down to verse 8. The first part is from verse 1 to verse 6 is talking about submission to our husband. Y'all thought I was going to say submission to wives submitting to husbands, but we remember, men, we're the bride of Christ too. If we can't submit to God, we can't submit to our wives, and we can't rule our wives correctly. That doesn't mean rule over them, rule for them, protect them, wash them with the water of the Word. Then verse 7 talks about the husbands doing the right thing. Verse 1 through 6 is the ladies. Verse 7 is the men. Now verse 8, here's the call to blessing. Finally, all you, here's a command, not a suggestion, all you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. I don't care if somebody just slammed your thumb with a hammer. I don't care what it is. You just heard what God said. You can see it right there in front of you. Finally, once and for all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, and be tender-hearted and courteous, not returning evil for evil. Now, there was a time in my life, you smashed my hand with a finger, I'd want to smash your head with that same hammer. Come on, you guys. Jeez. I don't know if this is so hard or it's just so simple that I'm losing all of you. Anyway, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this. Hello, knowing that you were called to this. You're supposed to be blessing, not reviling, that you may inherit the blessing. Now, remember just a few minutes ago, I told you the fact that one of the things that I found God doing to me lately is, unlike some of us, maybe many of us in our flesh and our mixed up minds, pointing out saying, how can you do that? What did you just do that for? For remembering I'm supposed to have compassion. And I'm no different than they are. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's what I say. God doesn't do that. We as humans, we're the ones who do that. The Satan is the one who's the accuser, isn't he? So whose image and likeness are we in? Satan's the accuser, not God, not the brethren. They better not be. Because with what measure you judge, you will be judged. What you sow, you will reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. And as you judge, you will be judged. Verse 9 again. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing,
knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen. Hallelujah. Miss Jean? I think we'll finish this. It's just a few more verses. Verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for the sins of the just and for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. It's not your flesh that's going to do anything for you. It's your spirit man. Is your spirit man in control of the Word, being controlled by the Word and the Spirit? The next question that goes with that is your soul man, your flesh, your carnal mind, your mind, will, and emotions. Are they in control of the Spirit or are they out of control? Remember again, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. Despise one and serve the other. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. See, every time you minister to somebody, even though they may be a Christian, there still may be a spirit that's in prison to some degree. A spirit that's not been totally renewed by the renewing of their mind. How do you do that? By the washing of the water of the Word. By faith. By compassion and love. Amen? Who formerly were disobedient. That's why they're in trouble. That's why they're in prison. You know, you don't have to be in prison to be in prison. How many know that? There's so many people walking up and down the streets right now that are in prison. Prison to old thoughts and old ways. To old customs and old habits. They're waiting for that resurrection, that restoration, that reconciliation to come. Amen. See, when we're seeing properly, when we're operating properly, all we see in everyone who's a Christian, in fact, even who knows we're not Christians, all we should see is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For the Christian, it means the blessings that He has for them. For the non-Christian, the hope that's in that death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? The resurrection of Jesus. The crucifixion. And remember, the work was done prior to the cross. The period was put when He said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. That was the seal. That the work was done when He was beat. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of filth in the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject to Him. So that means no matter what report comes over the television or the news, comes through the newspaper, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, all authorities and powers
and angels have been made subject to Him by God the Father. Amen. He's already dealt with the devil. So that means He's in control of everything. The only time He's not in control is when we take control. Or we don't yield that control. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a joy to serve the Lord. What a day. What a peace and a joy and a happiness. Comfort to serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we don't want to be destroyed by the same judgments we pass or pronounce on other people. Or the outward things we see and saying, you know, that's not the way we want to be judged. Amen. I saw one nod. I know somebody who agrees. Anyway, I don't know about you. I'm absolutely thrilled when I think about Smith Wigglesworth. Just walks down the street, and because God was so real in him and so alive in him, people shuddered and bent down and cried out, "My God, man, you convict me of my sins." It's not me that convicts you of your sin. It wasn't Smith Wigglesworth. It was the power of God. Like the title of the message, Power and Authority Through Compassion. Amen. That compassion starts when you understand what kind of a person you were. When you don't look in the mirror and then turn around and walk away and forget what you just saw. Are you with me? But you remember that you either were just like him or you could be just like that person. Remember, when God talks about mankind, he's not talking about gender. He's talking about mankind. Amen. I love him. I love him enough to want to obey him. And I'm hurt when I hurt him. When I see him hang his head. And you know why God gets so hurt when we do wrong? It's not because it hurts him. It's because it hurts us. Do you hear me? God's not hurt or upset because of what we do. Or because you know, of what it does to him. It's because of what it does to us. Disobedience causes the Spirit of God to flee. It frustrates the grace of God. Not about you all, but I do not want to spend 1 minute without the Holy Spirit in my life or the presence of God. Amen. I like that place, sitting right there in my daddy's lap, with his arms wrapped around me. Sometimes that means you and I have to wrap our arms around somebody who may not be very lovable. And say, you know what? God loves you. He doesn't condemn you. Jesus didn't come to condemn you, to judge you. He came to save you. To take you out of the hurt. To take you out of the garbage that is tearing your life down and destroying you. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, and set you free like he's done me. Amen? And like he's done you. That's the kind of person we need to strive to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're not steeped in formality here. If you feel you need to come get prayer, come and get prayer. No shame, no condemnation, and no embarrassment. See, the one thing that I made the decision of, even though I walked with God long before this in 1993, is I want to be open and transparent before the Lord. Not only before Him, but I want to be accountable and transparent before everyone that I come in contact with. That means y'all. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ or the gospel. That's the power of God to salvation. Amen. So if you want prayer, you need prayer, just even if it's agreement. You know, when you come up here, you don't have to tell anybody what's going on. All you got to do is say, I need prayer, or I'd like prayer, or I'd like agreement. That's the greatest form of prayer we can have, is the power of agreement with God's word over a situation. Because he says, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done for you. Amen. Or if you just need, you just like I say, come, stay there, raise your hand, whatever you want to do. The elders are available to pray. We love you, all of you, and we're for you. God's for you. He's not against you. I've been doing a lot of meditating on something that Stan said to me. I don't have a clear picture yet, but I'm getting more comfortable with it, and I see more and more. God can't look on sin. So what he sees through the blood of Christ, if you're a born-again believer. And that either exonerates you or condemns you. Your actions, as the Bible says in John 3, 17, 18, and 19, is what condemns you. Not Jesus. Not me. Amen? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anybody need prayer? Anybody want to pray about anything? Did you get touched today? Praise the Lord. And Father, right now, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you took these lips of clay, Lord, and that you used them. And not only did you touch those out there, but Lord, you touched me by your word. I'm a better person for this message today, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're causing change in me. And that I'm able to minister truth through what I've experienced, not what I wish to experience, Lord. That I'm able to know unequivocally, without question, your love, your compassion, your grace, your mercy, which follow me and follow these people, your people, all the days of your life. They're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, go with these folks. Go with all of us today, Lord, as we go out. Let us be mindful of the things which we've talked about today, the things which you've delivered. Holy Spirit, it's your job to remind, to teach, to comfort, Lord, Holy Spirit. So we just thank you for that. Now, Lord, we bless the time of fellowship together, Lord. We sanctify the food and drink by your word in this prayer. And we give you praise and thanks for your provision, Lord. More than anything, we thank you for you, Lord. More than anything, we thank you for you, for your obedience to our Father. And because of that obedience, now we are not just sons and daughters, but heirs of the good things of God and the righteousness of God. Thank you, Lord. Go with your people. Bless their day. Bless the week, Lord. Bring us back together Wednesday night, and those who can't be here, we speak blessing on them right now, Lord, for whatever reason they can't be here, and know that they're not out of mind, even though they're out of sight. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.